Well, here we are. Yeah.
Which one do I put?
The red one.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Obasis. We have a special guest today, Scarlett.
Good thing you made for me.
I'm not, so just so everyone knows, I'm not as keen on the electronics as Mr. Mocha, because I haven't done an episode by myself in a long time. I require hand-holding. Welcome, well, Scarlett.
You are not by yourself. I'm here with you. Hey, Mrs. Mocha. It's so glad to be back in the ozone. It's been a minute.
I'm so excited. Yeah. This has been a long time coming.
For sure. Yeah. I've been so lit up and so excited about it. It's actually, this has been my first time sitting down with my podcast mic in a while, because Angie and I show The Flaming Yoni went on hiatus back before summer. We went on a summer break and we haven't come back. Life happened. So it just feels so good to be here with you recording. And I want to thank you for bringing me back on your incredible show.
I'm excited that we get to be face-to-face. I think this is our first like face-to-face episode.
Yes, it is so much better to actually be able to see you than, you know, recording when we don't get to see each other's reactions and laughter and all that good stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think when Carrie and Megan and I were all doing, we tried to do like a remote podcast one time, and it was a little bit of a clusterfuck because we couldn't see each other. So like she was talking and I would start talking, and it was a lot. So this is definitely, we've entered 2024 because Mr. Mocha hooked up the stuff for us to do it.
Thanks. And plus, I mean, the viewers who are watching live, they can see our cleavage, which
you're,
I understand,
muted,
cleavage.
I think, Scarlett.
Oh, am I muted?
I can't hear you.
Oh no.
I see your lip.
How's this?
Oh, good. Your lips were
back?
Moving, but I, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Don't know what I did.
It was me, not her.
Huh?
It was my fault.
Oh, it was Mr. Mocha's fault.
Mr. Mocha's
I just gave him all the props. Well, just kidding, guys.
I was just saying, I think cleavage, when you're showing just a little bit of boob, people tend to listen to you more. So
I tried really hard, but mine's more like the under boob. So it's really cold in Georgia. Sorry.
Underboob? There's a whole community that loves underboob. Like, so. You
that'll be my next post.
That may be your next post. Yeah, you got to put out a post out there for the underboob lovers. But I'm really excited that you invited me on, because it's actually a really exciting month. My female empowerment sisterhood, the Slut Sisterhood, it's not mine, it belongs to the sisterhood, but we are actually on February 13th, Galentine's Day, we're celebrating 1 year of officially being launched as a sisterhood. Now, you were part of the sisterhood before it was anything official, when we were just sluts, slutting it up at events, enjoying one another.
That's awesome. And, bags.
With the coolest bags and merch. Oh my gosh, it's just grown so much since then. The bags you can't bring out anywhere because they've got slut written all across the side.
It's okay. One time I had my cup and all the kids were here, so there's that. Whoops.
The pussy cup. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Our merch is really, really fun. If you guys haven't seen it, I'll have to post it on Twitter so you guys can see. But yeah, we're celebrating 1 year, and the way we're celebrating, and we've been talking about this since we launched, is we are actually going to have an in-person Slut Sister retreat, which we're calling our Slut Sister Soiree, where we are actually going to get together, because our Slut Sisterhood is nationwide. It's actually across the world. We have Slut Sisters in Australia. We have Slut Sisters in all different parts of the country or of the world. But those of us here in the US are going to get together in a warm part of the country. I'm not going to say exactly where, but we love pools. We need a pool. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Pool to dip our pussies in. So we are going to be getting together, and we're going to have amazing activities. We're going to do yoga. We're going to have massages. We are just going to have an amazing time. We've been putting together the most like awesome elevating selectivity schedule, if you will. And so if you're listening to this and you're a sexually empowered woman and you're wanting to connect in with other sexually empowered women, go to theflamingyoni.com and check out Slut Sisters. And I see Angie, my co-founder, is here with us. Hello, beautiful. Great to see you here. And we've got a couple other folks I see. Thanks for joining in tonight for this conversation we're going to have. But yeah, I just want to say it's been an amazing year for the Slut Sisters, and we're doing big things.
Yay, Slut Sisters. Sorry, I'm having like, I thought you went off, but it wasn't. It's my headphone malfunctioning. You sounded like a robot for like a second, but I still heard you talk about the soiree and the pool and the pussies.
The soiree, the pool, the pussy. That's what I'm living for right now, pretty much.
So do you want to tell people about your website, maybe, where they can go to?
Yeah, definitely. If you go to the Flaming Yoni, YONI.com, and if you click on Slut Sisters is completely free to join. It is a closed community. We keep it closed because for safety reasons, and we just want to make sure that you know, those coming into sisterhood meet with us, and then we actually meet with you and chat with you and get to learn more about you. It's a little bit more than just like your basic Telegram chat. This is a really intentional community of women looking to support one other women and really receive support. And so anyone, any ladies can join the Slut Sisters. We have men like coming out of the woodwork trying to join the sisterhood. I'm like, it's a sisterhood. You cannot. Right. Access the sisterhood. That's the whole point.
You guys can come up with some slut brothers or some shit, you know?
Yeah, they keep saying they're gonna come up with it, Mrs. Mocha. I have not seen a slut brotherhood emerge, so don't know what that says about y'all, but we are enjoying our sisterhood.
Hold on, Mr. Mocha. I'm really sorry. Mr. Mocha keeps touching stuff and he's messing up my headphones and I can't hear anything. I'm trying. Okay, it's done. Okay, we're in. I'm really sorry.
You're fine.
Just like you said, so it's been a minute since I've done a podcast. Like, I've been doing some podcasts with Mr. Mocha, but I did the one at Mocha. That's the last one I've done. Oh, yeah. Look at Angie putting on Flaming Yoni.
She put it in the chat. Yoni.com.
Yes. Good job, Angie.
Yes. My sister's got my back. She always does.
Oh, that's Goliath. Is he on? Yes.
He's listening in. Yes, he is.
He's waiting on his invite to the Slut Sisters. Dead. Sir, I don't think you're here.
Yeah. He wants to come to the soiree where all the sluts are going to be on the end. Yeah.
Sorry, buddy. Sorry. I think it's pussy party only. There's no penises allowed.
Party only. No penises allowed whatsoever. It is going to be a lifestyle experience for ladies by ladies. And there's not a lot of those out there. Let's just be honest. And it's really not so much about lifestyle as it is just getting together, relating, and connecting. It's we're going to have a lot of fun as well. So yeah, that's coming up. And we will definitely be doing a soiree in 2025. And all the years on. So definitely if you missed your opportunity this time, you will have the opportunity to come next year if you join our sisterhood. So thanks for letting me rep my sisterhood. You know, I got to hold it down for my sisters. And I'm sure some will be joining us for this conversation because a lot of what we talk about in our sisterhood is sexual health. Because you can feel so alone on an island when you're thinking about this stuff. And you may have questions, how do other women take care of their sexual health? And it is so crucial to have women that you can just be candid and open with when talking about this subject, you know? And you and the Dirty Girls here on O-Faces have always kept it real with, you know, what it's like to be a sexually empowered woman leading out a non-monogamous lifestyle and taking care of your sexual health. And I've always appreciated you for that.
Yeah, we kind of started off as just a drunken bunch of bitches and
a drunken bunch of fun bitches. So fun.
There were a few episodes we didn't remember at all. We were like, we should probably re-record that because we don't even remember the ending of it. But it did turn out well. But I mean, I think that we all, God, fuck, I'm so sorry. My headphones keep going out. So I'm sorry that I keep cursing, guys. I know everyone's a fucking offended about,
I like
by
it
my
curse.
Mouth.
Stay dirty.
Hold on. Okay. But I mean, it definitely started out as Carrie saying, hey, do you want to invite like Megan? Because we'd known Megan for years, but we kind of like stopped hanging out together. And then she was like, why don't you invite Megan? She's so fun. And then that just turned the whole thing. And then, you know, like life kind of happened with us. So we haven't really been back on. She's had life stuff, Carrie stuff. So, but here we are.
Yeah, I love those
Slut
ladies.
Sisters and Dirty Girls Unite.
Slut Sisters and Dirty Girls, we've always been like this. We have always been like this. So I'm just really, really stoked. And I'm so glad, you know, in the beginning of the year, I had hit Mr. Mocha up. And I was like, you know, I'm seeing some things in the lifestyle community when it comes to conversation around sexual health. And also there's been some really exciting new medical and scientific advancements in sexual health. And I, you know, have been like, hey, we should be talking about this. And I don't see the conversation in the community. I was like, would you guys be interested? Because O-Faces always has their finger on the pulse of what's really happening in lifestyle. A lot of the episodes you guys have been putting out lately are so on point. And you guys agreed to have me. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Sexual health and, you know, all that good stuff. Because it's really very often what is on everybody's mind. It's if you are in lifestyle chat groups or Facebook groups, it's a constant conversation. And I think that it'll be great to, you know, reach out to your listeners and share some of the stuff that I'm really lit up about and you're really lit up about because you're really passionate about this as well, Mrs. Mocha.
Yeah, it was that all started because I started having like all my all kinds of medical things I didn't even know I was having. I can't even talk today. I can't hear. I can't talk. Here we go.
You good, babe.
I was having a bunch of underlying medical things that I didn't even know about. And I kind of was on a few year journey almost where I was just having to figure out things on my own. So had someone been able to give me this information years ago, I probably could have saved a lot of time and a lot of stress. So, I mean, I don't even know where you want to start, but I know we said we want to say we're not doctors.
We are definitely not doctors, just so we're clear. Just put some little disclaimers out there. We're not doctors. We're not giving medical advice. Go talk to a doctor. You know, we are talking to y'all as sexually empowered women that take excellent care of our sexual health. And like you said, Mrs. Mocha, have had some experiences that have given us some gems of wisdom that we wish we knew before. And so that's what we're here doing, not selling anything or claiming to be medical experts, because we are definitely not.
Right. Although I could have my degree, but I'm not. I don't.
I mean, you really could if they handed out degrees for going through a bunch of bullshit with the medical system and with all sorts of things. You absolutely could. But you know what? Instead, we're going to come on your show and we are going to spread some knowledge, because even though we're not doctors, the information we're going to be sharing today is from reputable sources. It is scientific. It is peer reviewed. It is all that good stuff. And that's important because we're going to talk about some myths and misconceptions surrounding sexual health, STIs, vaginal health, all that stuff. So just so you guys know, we've done our research here. Okay. We're giving you some actual factuals. Yeah.
If not experienced it.
Yeah. If not lived it, right? And that's the thing, is that there's a lot of value in our lived experience that we can pass on to others. I know we might have a couple people live. So if you're in the chat, I'd love to know. I have a question just to kind of start us off. What do you think of? What's like the first thing that comes to mind for you when you hear the term sexual health? Like, what just immediately comes to mind? If you could just kind of sound off with that, I would love to hear. What's the first thing that comes to mind for you, Mrs. Mocha?
I have crazy, but I've always had like a major problem with BV. So I know that sounds terrible, but hygiene would be one of those. And I've always had an issue. I haven't had a hygiene issue, but that's a smell. It's like a thing. So for me, I guess hygiene and my own vaginal hygiene, health.
Grooming, pH levels, all of that stuff definitely comes to mind, I think, when we think about sexual health, especially as women. But, you know, the gentlemen too, hygiene is huge. Hygiene, grooming, all of that stuff is absolutely huge for them as well. And, you know, it's like, it's so funny because it's on every like party that I see. Like, one of the rules is like good hygiene. And it's like, well, what does that mean? Like, are we going to get a little bit more specific about what it means? Like, be showered and shaved and like bathed before you come to parties. It's crazy that that has to be said. It should go with, you're coming to a fuck party. Like, and you're telling me that on the flyer, you have to say, take care of your hygiene. Like, come on. Somebody fucked that up at one point. Is what that means, that someone came to the party.
Or several people fucked it up. Yeah, several people fucked it up.
Yeah.
I mean, even down to like when we're at a party, there's been some people, not very many, but some that are like, oh, let's go up to the room and play. But I've just seen you at the pool, hanging out on the dance floor for 5 hours. And I'm like, bro, I'm not sucking your dick. My pussy, let me go. Like, do you want to go shower? We'll meet in like 30 minutes. Like, what do you want to do? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's funny you say that at events. It's like leaving the pool. Yeah. No, we're not about to fuck with chlorine all over our bodies. Like, that's a really bad idea. That's
so true. Or we could like go shower together, even if you want to. That's fine. Hey, but we're going to take a shower.
But we're going to shower. Yeah. We're going to spice it up. For me, what I always thought about when I thought about sexual health was like condoms and testing. Condoms and testing. I think that's what most of the conversation revolves around when we talk about sexual health in non-monogamous lifestyles. It's like condoms and testing. And what we're here to talk about tonight is that, yes, of course, condoms use and testing, like barrier use and testing, is so important. But that's actually, there's more you can do to protect your sexual health. But I feel like this conversation, whenever it's brought up, it's like condoms testing, it's all you hear. And people believe, it creates this kind of false sense of security around condoms and testing, that those are the only things that are going to keep you safe. And then people in lifestyle long enough may find condom and testing isn't enough, right? Because we know that there are STIs that can be spread despite the use of condoms. And so you really have to inform yourself and also realize that there's additional things that you can do to protect your sexual health. But yeah, if you are listening to us live, definitely sound off. What are some other things that come to mind when you think about sexual health? But let's talk about condoms. Let's start there. So condoms are obviously, like, barriers are like the number one way. They're so effective. They're a super effective way to reduce the spread of STIs. And because of that, we fucking love condoms. Condoms are so great. And I think that, especially as women, it's so important that we start talking about condom use. And, you know, there are female condoms, but let's be honest, 99.9% of the condoms used in lifestyle are male condoms. Have you ever seen a female condom, Mrs. Mocha?
Yeah, they don't look we had some at our house and I was like, how do you even use this thing? You just like sit it up in there and hope that you just like you sit it there and the dick goes in the same way as you. I don't know. I never tried them.
Yeah, I've never tried one either. I have seen them and I'm like, this is, you actually like insert it into your vaginal cavity like before sex. So it's been said that the advantage of a female condom is like, you know, that you're wearing one. So you can't, you know, have a situation where a guy, you know, stealths you or whatever. But It's like nobody teaches you this in sex ed. Like, how are you supposed to know how to put on a female condom? I have zero idea, but I know they exist. They're kind of like in the category of dental dams for me.
Yeah, I've never used those before either.
Never used a dental dam. Never once. I'm like, and they have them and they're like flavored and stuff, but I'm like, it's kind of counterintuitive for me because when you're eating pussy, like, it just doesn't seem like it would work for me. Like, I don't know. It feels like a piece of saran wrap over me, over my pussy.
I mean, that Mr. Mocha and I like talked a while back about that. Like, when we first started doing content and doing more testing and other things, and we'll go to that later, but we stopped using condoms for content because a lot of people don't use them. I mean, that's just the thing. Right. Everybody gets tested. You're tested within a certain amount of time and you know you protect yourself or whatever, but we kind of jumped into that too because we were almost like, what's the difference in you eating somebody's pussy or me sucking somebody's dick without a condom? Yeah, you're less likely to get an STD or STI in your throat, but it's still possible. So I mean, I'm not protecting my throat. I know that sounds terrible, but I mean,
it's true. We've
known some people to get like chlamydia in their, was it chlamydia? Gonorrhea in their throat.
Gonorrhea is really in the throat. Yeah.
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 And it actually turned out as like pink eye at one point in time. Like the person that got it, it looked like she had pink eye and it ended up being in her throat. And I know it was fine. We all got, you know, we got treated. We didn't have it, but we all got treated, but that was kind of the day where we were like, okay, so we do need to get tested more often because even when I was single, I got tested all the time, but I was under the impression when I went into lifestyle that condoms would just be fine until Mr. Mocha brought that up. He was like, I mean, there's so many other ways for you to get an STD or an STI. Look, so what are we doing? So
it's such a funny double standard, isn't it? That in lifestyle, at events, at parties, or with even just private meetups, condoms are viewed as like kind of the gold standard of sexual health. And it's like when you go to an event, there's almost like, okay, so we're going to be in group play or we're going to be in smaller group play situations, condoms. But you will almost never, ever, ever see a woman sucking a dick with a condom on at an event.
Right.
You know, Mrs. Mocha, you and I go to big lifestyle events. We go to Splash Mocha. You will almost never see a woman sucking dicks with condoms on. And yet, you will almost always see, especially if you're in a public play space, people using condoms for vaginal sex. And it's like, do we think that we're safer if we're using a condom for vaginal sex, when yes, you can get chlamydia in your throat, yes, you can get gonorrhea in your throat, and we know that there's a lot of people engaging in a lot of play, and so that creates a higher risk situation. But yeah, it's one of the funniest double standards I think that exists, because I'm gonna be honest, I don't like sucking dick with a condom on. It kind of ruins the experience for me personally.
I think I can honestly say I don't think I've ever done that.
I've
tasted the condom off of a dick, but not like suck the dick with a condom on it. Yeah.
Oh God, who hasn't tasted condom on a dick? It's
yeah.
You look at that beautiful juicy dick and then you taste and you're like, oh, rubber latexy taste. Delicious.
This is fine. The dick's about to be really good. It's fine.
Exactly. That's what you got to tell yourself so you can, you know, keep on sucking it. But you know, it's the interesting thing about condoms. They're so great and so effective for preventing STIs when they're used consistently. Now we've gone a long way too, because I know you've talked a lot about your experience with Skins, you know, and some of the newer non-latex condoms. They really are great. Because there are a lot of women with, if not full-blown latex allergies, with latex sensitivities, right? So Skins are such a great alternative. And I mean, they've almost become the condom of choice for lifestyle, I think. And I'm personally really grateful for that, because I far prefer them over like Magnums. Magnums are a no for me. Do you like Magnums?
Oh, I'm allergic. I actually found out when I got with Mr. When I got with Mr. Mocha, I found out because he actually told me, it was crazy. Like, we had only fucked a few times and he actually told me that I was allergic, because as soon as we were like, the condoms always kind of like bothered me. Like, it would hurt a little bit, but I was just like, oh, he's got a big dick. That's probably what's hurting me. But one time we stopped and he said, does your pussy always smell like condoms like that for so long afterwards? I was like, yeah, and it kind of hurts a little bit, but it's fine. And I had been married for many years before Mr. Mocha, so I just never thought anything about it. I was thirsty and wanted some dick, so, he'll take a little extra pain for that. But then he was like, well, you're probably allergic to latex. So he switched to Skins, and I stuck with those after that and didn't really have a bunch of issues.
Your pussy was full and I gave you Benadryl.
No, that was the second time. That was the second time. He's telling me the story, guys. Your pussy was swollen.
I heard your pussy was swollen and I gave you Benadryl. Did it work?
He might have. This is possible. Sometimes I don't remember all the stories. I barely remember last week. That happened like a few times. Like, a guy used a Skin, but it had like the blue ones have like extra lube in them. And as soon as he started fucking me, like, my pussy was on fire because I hadn't used anything other than just plain Skins for the longest time. And the guy ended up leaving, and Mr. Mocha saw my pussy. It was like, she's usually any, but she was pretty far out that day after that incident. Same thing, took Benadryl and I was good. But Skins are definitely it. And I tried the I don't know what brand they are, but they're lambskin. But yes, they were not very fun.
I was literally at a hotel takeover 2 weeks ago, and I went to play with this guy, and he like was taking forever to like put the condom on. And I was like sucking a dick, and I look behind him, and he's got this like, it wasn't like rolled like a condom. It was almost like in a pouch, and he like took it out and then was like putting a sock on, like putting it. So I was like, what is that? He's like, oh, it's a lambskin condom. All these years of my slut life, I had never seen a lambskin condom before. And I was like, what are you putting on your dick? I've only like heard of them. It was very, right. I mean, it felt fine. He was like, no, I like these because these are like the best feel. That's right. They don't protect against STIs.
Apparently Mr. Mocha needs to be on this episode too.
Yeah, he's got some facts over really. There.
No. Yeah. So Mr. Mocha just said that lambskins don't prevent, what'd you say?
STIs,
just pregnancy.
Interesting.
Well, you didn't tell me that time that person did that. They used that one on me, sir. Yes. Anyways, it's okay. It was a long time ago. Oh, sub girl's on.
Hey, sub girl. Oh, it's always great to see sub girl. Thanks for joining us. So we were talking about condoms. And even like lambskin or not, even regular latex or non-latex condoms don't protect against all STIs. It's such a misconception. Like, people really do believe that I use a condom, I'm good. Well, we all know that one of the most common STIs, well, I hope we all know, but that's why we're doing this episode, HSV can be spread from skin to skin contact. So the condom may not be as effective in preventing it. Oh my gosh, Subgirl's so sweet. She's like, I love you guys. We love you too, Subgirl. And especially like as women, condoms can really dry you out. Like, if you're not going to get like a full blown irritation, like Mrs. Mocha was talking about, where you're literally, your pussy may be swollen or really sensitive. It can definitely dry you out, especially if you are at an event or if you are having a marathon evening with some partners, like it can limit your play, because if you're dried out and you're having to use non-natural lube, not your natural like pussy lubricant, but you know, needing to reapply lube, that can affect your pH, which I know is something we were talking about before, Mrs. Mocha, that you've experienced.
I actually do like didn't realize until we started doing like the just like house parties, I guess. And like you said, I'm doing like marathon fucking, and I realized that my pussy would hurt, be more sore from the condoms, which is crazy. I mean, of course it was sore from the dicks too, but where like the condom would like dry, it would get dry and it would rub and like hurt so bad. Because then, so we have our regular house parties and we started doing our content parties. So we don't use condoms or content parties. We get tested, but I was not as sore, which was crazy. Like, I didn't realize that that was such a big deal until then. Because at least like without the condoms, I can use whatever lube I can use and I'm not as sore, and I can get rid of the BV faster if it's just that. But if it's condoms and lube and everything else, and then
everything else, it is a lot that you're exposing to your vaginal microbiome. And it's like, of course we love condoms, like condoms are great, but I think that there, one, what we're trying to do with this conversation is introduce folks in the lifestyle to multiple ways to take care of your sexual health. You have to decide what is the best for you. But like, don't think we're sitting here ragging on condoms, please. We love condoms. But it's not talked about as frequently. Some of the challenges that people have with condoms, especially if you have these kind of sensitivities, and a lot of women do have them. And so, you know, I just kind of wanted to point that out. And if you have any other thoughts on condoms, please throw them on in there. But, you know, another thing, so now let's get to the other side of the coin, right? Testing, condoms and testing. So you were mentioning when you and Mr. Mocha got into content, you guys started testing more regularly. What was that like for you when you made that transition, Mrs. Mocha? I'm like kind of interviewing you here.
Within like a year, I think within like a year of being in the lifestyle, we were testing even with using condoms, just because it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't prevent you from everything. So either he was doing every 3 months or I was doing every 3 months. I think that's what it was. It was either him or I doing every 3 months. And then we kind of like after probably like a year, maybe we went into like he would have like a partner, like a single female maybe that he would play with, or like one specific like hot wife or something that he would play with, that like he would do no condoms with, and then like vice versa, or I would have just like a regular play partner that I would do no condoms with, and we would get tested. So that worked for us for a little while, but like I said, we've always done the whole like every 3 months thing where we get tested. So
me too. Oh, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Hold on, Mr. Mocha, move some stuff so I can hear you.
I can hear
you. He's having fun over there.
Okay. Yeah, he is. So that's what we did frequently, was just he would have a partner, I would have a partner, and then we would get tested also. So, I mean, I don't know what your experience for that was, but then once we got more into content, it was, kind of balls to the wall, I guess, more or less.
Did you guys get onto like the talent testing? Did you guys use those services? Like,
yes. So we use talent testing, and we've used, there's a place here called, I forgot, it was at LabCorp or something, but basically like the same thing. So it's either talent testing or Clear, I think, is another one that people use. Like if we're not doing content, we'll just go to, what is the place? It's actually, Eli told us about it. It's near you. It's called AF. H or AHF or something like that, and they actually do free testing, and they do free awesome. Like prep and all kinds awesome. Of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of resources out there.
There's plenty of options.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of resources out there to get free testing.
Sorry, book okay.
Yeah. It. Yes, your audio has got a little delay. It might be my internet, but I'm hearing you now. So we'll just keep our fingers crossed.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Okay, perfect.
You're
so yeah, just like you said, when I got into lifestyle, it was kind of automatic for me. It was like, oh, well, I'm going to have to get tested. Like this, I'm having sex mm-hmm. with multiple partners. That comes with testing. It just felt like pancakes and syrup for me. But like a lot of people, I was like, how do I, DFW Goliath said AHF, I guess is that what you were talking about?
Where AHF. Yes. Yes. So that's where they do the free testing and they pretty much test for everything. I can't say that there's not a really long wait because it is free testing, but they also do like the prep and stuff. So go ahead. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, cool. No. I'm glad we're getting that resource out for your listeners. That's great. Thank you, DFW Goliath. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, mm-hmm. it kind of came along for me, but I guess that's the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. That's what it is. Oh yeah. That's what it stands for. Yeah. Interestingly enough, we're going to talk about PrEP and, I want to kind of look into at-home testing options because I want to get tested as frequently as I want to get tested, right? And at-home testing options are great for some folks. But after a while, mm-hmm. I made the decision to get on PrEP. And I was like, how great would it be if I could have a doctor that I was like completely open and honest with about my lifestyle, about my risk profile? Because the way that I see testing is a way to take care of yourself, take care of your partners, and mitigate the risk. And I know what keeps mm-hmm. a lot of people from getting tested is the fact that, especially like women, you're still going to your OBGYN that delivered your babies to get tested. Like,
right.
And you may not want to tell her that you are going to parties at weekends with your husband, fucking three or four dudes. You may feel the stigma is such a barrier to that. You're afraid you're going to get judged.
Right.
You're afraid maybe your information isn't going to be kept confidential. And so a lot of people put their health at risk because they are not willing. Let me know if you guys can hear me. But yeah, because they're not willing to have that conversation with their healthcare provider. Like, and, you know, that is...
I think that maybe I was just always different because I didn't care. I just was like,
I've never cared either.
I think that's too maybe like something I could say to people, like, don't be afraid to tell them. I mean, there's HIPAA and everything else. And what if they're telling your business and there's a problem? So, or you maybe shouldn't go there. If you're the person letting look at your pussy, you should trust that you can tell them anything. If he cheated on your husband, I know that sounds terrible, but you know, that's the equivalent of probably going in and having to say, I fucked five guys this weekend or 20 at Slash Mocha. And I think I tore something. I don't know. You know?
Yeah. I need to get that checked out. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
Talk to your doctor.
No, they're there to help you and they need to understand what your risk profile is. I will mm-hmm. say, though, I did not want to like talk to a doctor that was going to judge me, even if they do what I want, mm-hmm. even if they test me. If they look at me like I'm a freak, that's going to disincentivize me to go to the doctor. Like, I'm like, I got to sit in front of this asshole again. You know, I know that that's a lot of mm-hmm. people's experience. They'll go and get tested because they know it's mm-hmm. the responsible thing to do, but they hate it because they feel like they're being judged each and every time. So what I decided to do, mm-hmm. and this is what I literally tell everybody to do, go to a community health clinic in the gay part of town. Find the gay part of your town. There is a gay part of your town, I promise. And if you go there, I promise you, like the MAs, the doctors, they have seen and heard it all. And they are just going to completely accept you and not judge you and not treat you in a stigmatizing way. And I met my doctor and it was like literally love at first sight. I was like, I finally found a doctor who talks to me like a human, doesn't judge me, will listen to me, and like takes my takes my knowledge into consideration into how she's treating me. She knows that I am a well-informed person making responsible choices, but she also knows that I, you know, have a certain profile of risk, and she takes excellent care of me. She's like awesome. When I go in to see my doctor, she's like, oh, are we getting the deluxe package today, babe? I'm like, yeah. give me the full spa package. And she tests me for everything. I do the smoke throat swabs. And I, as someone who is not a content creator, not a sex worker, am able to get tested, full panel tested once a month. And I go through my insurance and it's very affordable. Yeah. I think one of the barriers that people have to testing is cost. If you don't have health insurance, because, and that's the thing, right? Is like you go to the local gas station or sex store and you buy condoms. The medical system is not involved in that. Once you introduce the medical system, people have barriers. They don't have health insurance. You know, they have transportation barriers, whatever the case may be. And like, we recognize that there are barriers. It is imperative upon you to take care of your health and to, like, you know, address those barriers. But if you're the only barrier you're facing is, I'm afraid my healthcare provider is going to judge me, find a new healthcare provider. Like, just find, yeah, I agree with find that. A new one. It's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Because like you said, what if you're not telling them all the information? So you just go in and you say, I know that, like, my primary care doctor, before we, like, really started talking to her, we told her we needed an STD test. And you know what she did? Chlamydia, gonorrhea, and the trichomoniasis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. That was it. And I was like, no, we, like, need, like, the whole
no thing. Syphilis? No.
Yeah.
Oh, we need like a, that's wild.
So we went back and I went further into detail. I was like, no, we need a full panel. Like, we're in an open relationship. And she goes, oh, well, because this, we found her the year of pandemic. And she was just like, oh, it looks like everyone's getting experimental during pandemic. And I was like, oh, no, this has like just been us for a while. You just got so lucky to find us. So. So
yeah,
but yeah, if you don't tell them the extent, then they won't test for everything because there's so many new things out there. There's what is the MGen that everyone's talking about? There's MGen. There's there was another one right before summer. I don't remember. But anyways, there are just several different things that they won't test you for because they think you're just being overly paranoid or whatever, because they don't know you just fucked 8 guys in the weekend or 20 guys or whatever. They're just like, oh, she's just being paranoid. She probably has a UTI. So.
My slut sisters have told me they have been turned away from testing just for the exact same reason you're talking about. Oh, I'm sure you're just being nervous. You're married. Like, you know, yeah. It's like, the thought that any healthcare provider would turn someone away from testing baffles my mind. I also know people who are concerned about their insurance, you know, being flagged and their employer, like, they're basically not receiving the coverage or the care. And so it's like, you have to be willing to go through these barriers, because once you get to the other side and you have a provider, you have a really good rapport with, that will test you on demand whenever you want. There's some months I go in and I test twice a month, you know, as I just need to call up and they'll be like, absolutely, Scarlett, come on in. And so it takes some time and an investment to get that with your healthcare provider. But once you have it, to me, it's like worth its weight in gold. I don't worry. I don't have testing anxiety. For me, it's so a routine part of my life. And again, if I can do it as a single woman, not a sex worker, you know, if I can do it, I know that others can do it. Even though it may be really freaking hard to get there, and that's okay. You can come to us and you can bitch about it. We will listen to you. We will affirm you because we know how hard it can be. But it is so worth it to find that healthcare provider. Go ahead, Ben.
Sorry, I was just going to say you can also walk around with something and not know it because you're not going to get tested because you're afraid, which is, don't do that. Because that has literally happened to several of my friends. Like, I had one guy tell me that he gets frequently tested. For anyone that can see my fingers, quotations. It had been a year. I was like, so you get tested once a year? And like, in his mind, that was a lot. But he was not using condoms. And I'm like, how many people are you having sex with that you think? I just don't like the whole, I don't need to get tested because you're afraid to get tested. I don't like when people say to me, I don't need to get tested. I'm clean. Well, how the fuck do I know that? We met 30
seconds ago. How do you know that? Let alone me.
Right. Yeah. We met 30 seconds ago at this event. And I'm just supposed to trust your word? No, because you don't even know. And so don't be so afraid that you're that confident that you just walk up to someone. Well, I have only had sex with 6 or 7 guys this year and we didn't use condoms, which again, we're not even saying that it's bad to not use condoms or to use condoms, whatever you got to do. But don't think because you haven't you haven't gotten tested and you just look clean and you smell clean, that's okay. Because there are some that don't have any really, they can lie dormant for 90 days sometimes for men, certain STIs. So, and don't know that anything's even happening.
The most common STI symptom is no symptom at all. I'm going to say that one more time. The most common STI symptoms are no symptoms at all. So if you think you are good because you don't have symptoms, you couldn't be more wrong. I just gotta put that out there, especially for women, because common bacterial STIs like chlamydia and gonorrhea very frequently do not have symptoms in women, whereas men will have like discharge that alerts them that they need to go get tested and treated. Women are less likely to have those symptoms. We get discharge changes for all sorts of reasons, because of where we are in our menstrual cycle, stress. It could be a huge number of things. Okay. But it's so important to note that, because people are out here thinking, I'm just good because I don't have any symptoms. I don't need to get tested. Yes, you do. And I love having testing conversations with people, because people are like, you get tested. Oh, yeah. Here's my labs up on my phone. My last test was January 25th. Here's my next appointment. Like, it's so routine for, you want a screenshot? Boom. Like, I routinely, like my fluid bonded partners, I routinely send them screenshots whenever I get tested. I don't even say anything. They just look at the screenshot. Here's my results. And the peace of mind that comes with that, ultimately, I can't, especially with casual connections and lifestyle, we can have a conversation and we're going to have a conversation about sexual health, but I'm not your wife or your mother. I can't tell you to take care of yourself, but I'm damn well sure I'm going to take care of myself. And that's the big piece when it comes to testing, because the more people test, the more frequently people test. If you do have something, you can then inform your partners who can go get treated. And then that way we're not having all these STIs going around, you know, our lifestyle communities.
Sad part is though, even so, for example, Mr. Amoka and I have scares, and we informed the people that we had played with, and we were using condoms at the time, but we weren't sucking dicks with condoms or eating pussies with condoms. So we literally informed, I think there were probably six or seven couples there. This was a lifestyle party, and we told them what happened and that we had tested positive. And no one from that event or that particular party wanted to believe that they had it. Like, we just, Mr. Mocha and I came with it because we told everyone. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, so no one's going to get, we got tested, but no one here wants to get tested because you guys are embarrassed of getting tested. You're like, what's going to happen other than you getting some antibiotics? If you have a sinus infection, you get antibiotics. If you have an STI, most of them,
if you get the common cold, if you get the flu, they put you on an antibiotic. You quarantine right. away from everybody for a week,
right.
and then you return to work and to school and everywhere you go, right?
Right.
STIs are right. no different. You go get tested, right. you get an antibiotic, and you quarantine. But yet it is the stigma. I have a mission statement, and this is one of the reasons I'm doing this, and I so appreciate you, Ms. Smoke. I have a mission statement on my Twitter that like kind of talks mm-hmm. about what I want to do in the community. And it says stigma surrounding STIs contributes to a sex negative culture. If you want to know mm-hmm. why our culture is so sex negative, it's because STIs have been made out to be something that makes you dirty or bad. And that is not true.
Yeah.
An STI is a bacterial infection, just like strep throat, just like the common cold. Like it is not this mark of being amoral or being irresponsible. It is simply something, a bacterial, something that can occur. And if you're responsible and if you're ethical, it's not the end of the world. It is right. the stigma surrounding STIs that keeps us in this Puritan culture where sex is looked at as something dirty and wrong and bad. And so that's right. one of the reasons why I'm so glad we're having this conversation. I think we are hitting on some hugely important points, and I really hope that everybody listening is digesting all of this, because even the language we use around STIs, dirty and clean, you know, it's like mm-hmm. I say positive and negative. I got a negative STI test on this date. Here go. Here are my results. Because the notion right. that having an STI makes you dirty is really problematic, because it doesn't make you mm-hmm. dirty. Right. And so, yeah, I just, oh, this stuff like really, really gets to me, because I think if we could understand that there is nothing moral about this, we'd just be in such a better position in the world, and
right.
people get off their high horse and stop judging other people, you know.
Yeah. Hey bro, you got the clap, you take some fucking pills, you're gonna be okay.
Like, you're gonna be fine, keep it moving,
your dick's like, not gonna fall off. Yeah, like it's okay,
it's not
gonna like,
fall off, it's gonna be okay.
You're yeah. not the first person that the doctor has seen with an STI. You're not the first man or woman in there that has seen, they've seen that. Like, I saw a TikTok the other day that was basically the ER doctor was saying, we know that nothing accidentally fell in your ass. Okay. Nothing accidentally fell in your ass. So we know
that you're I'm so glad I muted myself in that
moment. I mean, we know that you didn't fall on a shampoo bottle and it fell in your ass. So, I mean, the doctor knows that you're fucking as an adult. So go get treated. It's okay. Go to the ER, wherever you want to go. You don't have to see the ER doctor ever again. They don't give a fuck. I can assure you they have seen worse. So if you don't yeah. want to go to your family doctor, fine. There are ERs, there's urgent cares. Like before Mr. Moko and I found our like primary care, we just went to the urgent care and they didn't care. We were in the same room.
You can literally go yeah. to CVS and get tested. Like it's right. so accessible right now. You're right. If you want to have that anonymity, you know, yeah, go to CVS Minute Clinic and get tested. I used to do that right. before I started my at-home testing. But like, you know, again, well, what really made the difference for me, Mrs. Morgan, we can talk about this, is that because I would just go to the Minute Clinic and I was like, as long as they test me for everything, I'm good. But I made the decision. Right. Oh my gosh, it's going on 3 years now. June of 2022, I made the decision to get on PrEP for HIV prevention. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I part of what contributed to me wanting to make that decision was because I was like, if I get on PrEP, I will have a PrEP doctor that will work with me and like be with me. I won't be going to all these random clinics and seeing all these, but I'll have someone who understands my medical history and that I can really like develop a rapport with. And that's exactly what happened. I had my doctor on my podcast. I think that's one of the most coolest, savage shit I've ever done. And hopefully I would love to have her on O-Faces, and hopefully we'll have her on soon because she is just incredible. And she was like so happy. She was like, do you know, I have hardly any cisgender woman on PrEP. She's like, you're one of the only women that I actually have on PrEP. PrEP, just so everybody knows, to kind of give, we'll define our terms here. PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. It's an interesting word. Prophylaxis. And that's why condoms are called prophylactic. So that is PrEP. And then we're also going to talk about PEP, which is PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis. PEP is post-exposure prophylaxis. And so we're going to talk about the two, but it's easy to get them confused. So that's why I wanted to define our terms here. But PrEP for HIV prevention is a regimen where you take a very small dose of an antiretroviral medication that makes it impossible for you to contract HIV if you are exposed to it. And it is taken through either a daily pill or the PrEP that I'm on is an injection. So I get a little shot in my booty once every 2 months. So it's 6 shots a year. That's it. And the great thing about PrEP is that for people who are on PrEP, generally, they tend to take really good care of your sexual health. Because if you're on PrEP, you're not going to the doctor once a year. That's not it. You're at least going to the doctor once every 3 months. And so the people I know in lifestyle who are on PrEP generally take really good care of their sexual health. They're getting tested frequently. They have a doctor they're working with. And for me, that was really important because in my mind, it's like such a no-brainer to take every single possible action to protect myself, protect my partners. It really seemed like a no-brainer. But what I found out after getting on PrEP is that there's a lot of misinformation out there about PrEP in lifestyle communities. A lot of people don't understand what it is. And I think that has to do with the marketing. It was really marketed for the gay population, men who have sex with men. It wasn't marketed to women. It wasn't marketed to the non-monogamous community, which is a shame because you would think it's like the perfect thing for the non-monogamous community. But since getting on PrEP, I have had zero side effects and the peace of mind that it gives me is amazing. And so I highly recommend PrEP. And I really, every single time one of my slut sisters gets on PrEP, I'm like, yay! I swear to God, I wish I could like have streamers fall from the sky because so few women realize that they can take this step to protect themselves and to protect their partners. And I realize it is not for everybody. You have to talk to a medical provider in order to get on PrEP. There are labs that have to run. And so it's a great opportunity to get in connection with a sexual health provider and maintain and establish that. And so I just like really wish that I think more lives, and I'm curious, I see a lot of you with us here on Twitter. Why don't you think that more lifestylers are on PrEP? What is keeping lifestylers from doing this? Is it that they believe that HIV isn't possible in lifestyle communities, or what is holding people back? Do you have any thoughts on that, Mrs. Mocha?
Definitely. I think it's just like trash reality TV. I'm so serious. Like that's how people like from other countries, that's how they perceive us. Let's just start there. They perceive us as that, our reality TV. But in reality, we're not that way. So I think if you don't understand something, or if you've never actually seen it yourself, that you don't know, because everyone that's actually told me that they're on that has said, oh, but don't tell anyone. And I've never in my mind, because, you know, also too, I'm very open and whatever, like, yeah, here we are, like, do what makes you happy, you know, but I don't see any issue with it, with you trying to protect yourself. So I think cuckoldress and cuckoldress of James said not enough information, which is pretty, I agree with that for sure.
And that's exactly why we are doing this, because there's a lot of misinformation and there's not a lot of information out there. Like I said, it wasn't marketed towards women. So essentially, we actually have the scientific capacity and the medical capacity right now to end HIV. If everybody knew their status, which means everybody was getting tested, and everybody who has HIV is taking their medication and is in medical care, if their viral load is undetectable, then they can't pass the virus along. And if everybody who has a negative status for HIV, such as myself, is on PrEP, again, these two medical advancements can end HIV. But there's so little information out there. And, you know, I've had people have, like, I've made myself kind of like the person who I, in my women's groups and in my slut sisterhood, I will gather questions from my slut sisters. And then I go see Maggie, my doctor, and I'm like, oh, they want to know about this. And I literally am bringing information back from my doctor to my slut sisters. Mm-hmm. So, like, I had one slut sister that said, is there an age limit? Is there, like, an age cutoff for PrEP? And I asked my doctor, and she said, I have patients on their in their 80s on PrEP. I was like, I hope that's me. I hope I'm getting dick into my 80s. Yeah, right? We need to be in the nursing home together, Mrs. Mocha, getting dick. But yeah, so things like that. Or there's a lot of people that are concerned about, like, the effects on your kidney function. And I promise you, it is no worse for your kidneys than the alcohol you drink. Or the recreational drugs you may take. Okay.
I was literally about to say, or the drugs you may or may not do that you don't tell your doctor that you do.
Exactly. There are people who have said that they're concerned about being able to donate blood being on PrEP, because some blood banks don't allow you to donate blood if you're on PrEP, because they put their blood donations through a standard. We actually, those of us on PrEP, we get rigorously tested for HIV. And I'm like, okay, well, giving blood, donating blood is a great thing, but so is ending HIV and being responsible. So, like, you know, it's like, you know, that, and here's the beautiful thing about PrEP. You can get off of it. If you leave lifestyle, if you, you know, go into a monogamous relationship, you don't have to take PrEP anymore. But
it's not a never ending story.
No, it's not. And I've had some people ask me, well, can I get on PrEP like for a splash mocha, right? Like, can I get on PrEP and then after splash get off it? It doesn't really work like that. In order for PrEP to build up in your system, and I actually, oh, I thought I grabbed my PrEP pill bottle. I don't know what it is, but in order for it to build up in your system, you have to be taking it for at least a week. That's how long it takes to build up in your, like, anal tissue, and it's 3 weeks for your vaginal tissue. So you have to be taking it consistently for 3 weeks until you know that the medication is active in your system. And so, yeah, there isn't enough information out there, Anne, and that's exactly why we are doing this podcast. I think that people in lifestyle think that HIV can't happen to them. And interestingly enough, just recently, there was a news story about somebody in lifestyle circles that was HIV positive. And so people don't know this, but in some parts of the country, it is a crime to have unprotected sex with somebody and not disclose your HIV status. And that is exactly what happened to this individual. This individual was arrested. So if you think it can't happen in lifestyle, this is a disease. It does not discriminate. And we are people who have multiple partners. And so I'm just saying this because this is like the facts of the matter. And again, mm-hmm. living your life from a space of it won't happen to me, that's not good enough for me. I love me.
Yeah.
I want to take care of me, you know? So if you guys have any other questions about my experience on PrEP, I'm going to put the link to our podcast episode with my doctor. She really goes deep into it. I'm not a doctor. I just know what I know as an informed, you know, person. But I'm always willing to answer questions about PrEP because I just – it's there's so much bad info out there about it. So I'm more than willing to speak on it. But I'm really excited to get into our next topic, which is DoxyPEP. I'm so freaking excited. This is the whole thing I wanted to come on and talk to y'all about. So I did a poll on my Twitter. Let me find the poll. See if I can find the poll. I did a poll on my Twitter at the beginning of the year where I asked my Twitter followers to vote. Here we go. The question I asked was, are you familiar with DoxyPEP? And the options were never heard of it, not sure what it is, familiar, don't use it, or familiar, use it. So where do you fall on that spectrum, Mrs. Mocha?
So really funny. And we had literally just talked about it like right before you talked to Mr. Mocha about it. And it was because I have this like app that you can get. It's called Wisp. It's kind of like the plush care that you posted.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same thing. Like they will send you like meds for STIs. They'll send you, it's several different things, but it said DoxyPrep. And I was like, what is DoxyPrep? Then we started like talking about it and him and I, you know, kind of went through our whole thing, but we're still kind of new. Like I didn't have a lot of information on it, but it's definitely something I would like to do just because, you know, we do, Mr. Mocha still does some content creating and stuff like that. So it protects both of us, you know?
Definitely. I am so excited about DoxyPEP, and there's a lot of conversation. It's actually brand new. It is a new treatment protocol that just came out and was published in October of last year. And so I went in for my testing appointment in October. I think it was my appointment right before, because I test before and after a big event like Splash Mocha. And I think it was my, no, it must have been, I think it was actually before then. But anyway, around September or October of last year, I went in to see my doc and she was like, Scarlett, I have got to tell you about DoxyPEP and I'm going to write your script. I was like, what is it? She's like, essentially, it is a dose of antibiotic you can take within 72 hours of a potential exposure that can reduce your risk of contracting a bacterial STI. So gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis. I was like, no way. Are you serious? I had never even heard of that. And she was like, yeah, like, I want you to start using this like ASAP. She's like, she did tell me then that not a lot of research has been, the original research group was men and trans women. So it hasn't actually been proven effective. They're undergoing more research. But in my mind, I was like, hell, I'll take some protection over no protection. You know what I mean? Like, I'll take some protection over if I do choose to play bear with a partner, you know, just kind of rolling the dice with that. Why wouldn't I want to take an antibiotic and potentially, you know, reduce my risk of getting an infection? So, so let's talk about antibiotics. What is your experience with antibiotics? This is Mocha. Do you love them? Do you hate them? Are you in between? What do you think?
You don't want to know, but I have a lot of allergies, but Doxy is actually one that I haven't had an issue with at all. So and they give you that for like several different things. There are several STIs they give it to you for, but they also give it to you for like pneumonia, sinus infections, like all kinds of different things. So it may kill like three birds with one stone. You never know. I mean, it's not something that I'm not willing to try. For sure, because like you said,
they prescribe it for acne. For acne. Right. Like really bad bacterial acne.
Yeah. So I am definitely experienced with antibiotics, and that's definitely one that I've never had an issue with. And I've had an issue with a lot of antibiotics. So
Oh my God, that is so awesome.
I think I'm not 100% sure, but it may be penicillin. It may have some type of psyllin in it. So if you have a penicillin allergy, you might want to look into that. I think
doxycycline is in the penicillin like family. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I consider myself really lucky because I don't have any medication allergies, nor do I react badly to antibiotics. A lot of women don't tolerate antibiotics well. You know, there's issues with yeast infections that come along with antibiotics. There can be issues with gut health that come along with antibiotic use. And so, again, when you think about this method of protecting yourself against STIs, again, it's just like PrEP and just like testing, you're interacting with the medical system, right? Which has lots of issues. However, this medication and this treatment regimen, I think, is badass for women or men who tolerate antibiotics well. If you don't tolerate antibiotics well, you know your body, your medical provider hopefully knows your history. I know a lot of my slut sisters who get prescribed an antibiotic, their provider has to also write them that yeast prescription as well to take care of their yeast infection that they're likely going to have. I don't have those issues. And so when my doctor told me about DoxyPep, I was like, hell yeah, I am all in for this. And as a matter of fact, I'm probably going to divert this medication and give it to a bunch of my lifestyle friends. She's like, you're good. You're good doing that. So yeah, I was handing them out like Skittles, okay? Because I wanted to make sure that, you know, the people in my inner circle are staying safe too. But the best thing to do would be to get a prescription for DoxyPep. And there have been multiple online online telehealth providers that are, they're even offering it on a subscription. You know, just like a lot of your Amazon subscribe and say, if you can subscribe to getting doxycycline. So I'm going to put a link towards it's called B Brand, and it is an online telehealth platform where you can get a subscription for doxycycline. It's sent to you in the mail. Again, you know, you can access all of this online. And so the way that DoxyPep works is, like I said, you take one or two of the antibiotic pills within 72 hours of an exposure. And it's always, what I like to do is pair my DoxyPep use with my testing, right? Because you don't know, you can't rely on it. Okay. It's not a 100% for your, you know, 100% positive. But what I do is I use it for big events like Splash Mocha or other hotel takeovers. I'll take my Doxy and then I'll go get tested. And so, yeah, I am so excited about the potential for this. I think that being able to take your health into your hands like this is a really, really good thing. But again, I know everybody is not the same. And, you know, you may have issues with antibiotics. And if that's the case, you know, you may want to be more strict about your condom use, you know, things like that. It's like you have to make the best choices for yourself. But what I'm noticing is people just don't even know that DoxyPep and PrEP are an option. And so that's why I'm really grateful.
Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest too with how many drunken nights have people had and woke up like that person last night. I mean, you don't. Here's the thing. It's happened to, I don't care what people say. They're like, oh, you were blackout drunk one time, or you just were just comfortable enough that you were like, you know what, I'm going to do this. And no one's judging you for that, but this stuff will help you in the end.
A lot of what makes people nervous about STI stuff is a feeling of powerlessness. Like feeling like, oh my gosh, I made a decision. Yeah, I may have been under the influence, or I may have just like made a spur of the minute decision to have sex with someone I don't know very well without a condom. Okay.
Right.
And then the anxiety sets in that goes on for days and days and days. If you're listening, you know, you may be feeling me on this. until you can get tested. And then, of course, there's an incubation window for all STIs, right? So you can't just immediately go get tested the next day and know that you're good. Right. And so I think you say let it marinate, but Smoke, I heard you say that once and I like died.
Yeah, or like, you know, 6 days later, your pee burns one time because you're dehydrated and you think you have something like some.
Right.
We don't, but you know, this might help. So I did that. It looks like doxy is unrelated to penicillin.
Oh, I'm so glad. Did Mr. Mocha fact check us? Because I am really grateful that he did.
I've been jumping up and down for her to correct that. It's what they give people who are hypersensitive to penicillin. That way people aren't like saying we're giving out bad information. So yes.
I didn't say that I knew what I was talking about. I just said I wasn't sure.
You know how humans are. They're going to take it as a fact. So we don't. We're trying to encourage doxycycline, not discourage it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mr. Mocha. And yeah, this is why you need to, this whole podcast episode is to prompt you to go talk to your doctor, get that sound medical advice with your unique medical history in mind, right? We don't mm-hmm. know your medical history. But what we're really just trying to do is get rid of the stigma and let you know you have options.
Right. This is not a bad thing, people. It could be potentially good or it may not be your thing, but don't be, like I said, like she said too, just don't be shy and don't be afraid to at least look into it. I saw earlier Blushing Vixen said urgent care. We were talking, I'm backpedaling a little bit, but she said urgent care in Illinois. I can't read it. In Illinois, refused to do anything other than chlamydia and gonorrhea. Maybe, I don't know if there's AHF or AFH? Near
yeah,
you,
an AIDS Foundation. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Get with them. Yeah, go to the providers. And I know it can be hard because I know some people that drive 45 minutes to get tested because they can't get a full panel test in their neighborhoods. And so that really sucks. And it should not be that way. But sometimes, you know, that those are the sacrifices we have to make. And I forgot to release the results of my poll here. So again, I asked, how familiar are you with DoxyPep? I got 153 responses. Thank you if you responded to my poll. 65% of people, and I'm almost followed exclusively by lifestylers, exclusively by people living out non-monogamous lifestyles. 65% say they never heard of it. Never heard of it. Because again, this information, even though it could be a huge medical breakthrough, it just doesn't get through to people. 19% said they're not sure what it is. 13% said they were familiar, but they didn't use it. Only 3% said that they're using it. We have got to change this because that's crazy that only 3% of those 153 people use DoxyPep. And so I just would really like to see more people at least being familiar with it and knowing it's an option.
Right. I think it's my turn.
I had to cough. I know. I'm sorry. I will shut the fuck up.
No, you're not. No. I'm going by your notes and it says Mrs. Mocha. That's what I wasn't meaning like, let me take your fire.
No, I just like, girl. I will talk forever about this and you need to be like, Scarlett, shut up.
No, it's okay. No, it's okay because we got the pieces of information out there that we want everyone to have though. And now maybe people will ask questions because I think it's a door that you opened and you know, more people will open it once they see like, oh, well, Scarlett does it. And Mrs. Mocha talked about it on the podcast and she does it, or so-and-so what got on the podcast and they do it too. So it's not a stigma because again, I don't know how many events I've been at or different places. And the first thing somebody says to me is, oh, I'm on PrEP, but don't tell anyone. And in my mind, I was just like, why the fuck not? What does it matter? I mean, of course, I'm not going to say anything, But I didn't understand the why can't you tell anyone? It's probably a good thing, but you know, you can't change people's minds.
My slut sister, for about a year, I didn't tell anyone because I was so afraid that I was going to be judged because people don't understand it, even though it means that I am for sure negative for HIV and I'm for sure taking care of my health. I was still nervous people were going to judge me until my slut sister, you know her, Naughty Hot Wifey from Twitter, who has made all of our incredible slut sisters gear. She makes beautiful lifestyle gear. As soon as she got on it, she went on Twitter and she was like, "Hey guys, I got on PrEP." And I was like, if my slut sister can do it, I can do it. I can share with our community that I've made this decision. And we hopped on Twitter Spaces and we told the world. And I was like, so inspired by her bravery. And I was like, why am I keeping this a secret? It literally doesn't need to be. It's just completely crazy. So yeah, I hope if you're listening and you're on PrEP, you know, realize that it is a good thing. It means you're taking care of yourself and it is not anything to be ashamed of, or that you know, you don't have to come on a podcast and scream it from the rooftops either, you know. But you can at least, that's what I do because I will
have some peace of mind that it's not as big of a deal as you thought it was, you know.
It is not as big of a deal, and you are not alone, and you are not the only one for sure.
Right.
But yeah, let's talk about what you told me the other day about the Honeypot Boric Acid brand, because this kind of broke my heart a little bit. I'm not gonna lie. I've been devastated since you told me.
So I was used Honeypot for boric acid, if no one's heard of it, but I loved it for a really long time until I was getting continual BV. So then I went on their website and I found out that they actually changed their formula. So I'm not sure if they sold to another company, because, you know, sometimes that's how things, they start out like a smaller brand and they get bigger. So they sell and they change the formula. So they changed the formula. And I actually found out too, because Kenzie Fox said that she was kind of having the same issues. So we did just like a little bit of research and they changed their formula. So I no longer use Honeypot boric acid because it was also causing me to have like yeast and all kinds of other stuff. It was crazy. I was like, how is this happening? Like, and it was so soothing. So that was such a sad thing for me because it had like shea butter and like tea tree oil and all kinds of other stuff. So I know the pills aren't as fun. And just in case you've never taken boric acid, do not swallow it. It goes in your vagina.
Yes. Do not vaginal suppository. Ugh, that would taste terrible.
We had someone find me at a party and say she thinks that she swallowed one. And I was like, dear God. She's like, what do I do? I was like, I've never eaten one, so I don't know what to do for you. But we should probably call poison control. She was fine.
She had taken it that night?
She'd swallowed the pill. She took it with like her vitamins. She took it with her vitamins. She forgot that was part of it. So she said, I've been trying to call you. And I was like, why? She said, I ate boric acid. I was like, you ate it, but not intentionally. So do not put it with like any of your pills that you would swallow. Like, put it under your sink away from everything. I keep it
by my nightstand. My boric acid is right there. Yeah, it's not in my
supplement. You know the difference between your vaginal suppositories that could potentially poison you or the ones that go in your vagina. Yeah.
I do. So, like the first boric acid I got, it was like in a pill bottle and looked like little pills. So like it's an easy mistake to make. I'm just horrified for that poor woman. I'm sure she had a rough night.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I did advocate for Honeypot, but I don't anymore. So I switched over to the brand called PhD, which I did not use. I tried before, but it was very gritty and sandpapery. And Mr. Mucka told me that I was tearing up his stick one time. He said it felt like, what did you say? That it felt like you were fucking sandpaper. So,
exfoliate my dick.
Yeah, he thought I was trying to exfoliate his dick with a boric acid.
If you're going to use that one, you have to wait a good day.
The new one I have.
I'm talking about the sandpaper one you had the first time.
No, but that's where I was going.
Oh.
So they changed their formula. So now you can actually use their formula and it does not make your husband or your partner's dick a sandpaper dick. So it's
It's not as soothing as the honey pot, which again is really sad, but it's not like sandpaper like it was before. So, but that is PhD, and they actually have a, what do you call it? Like a boric acid wash, like a pussy wash. So
yeah.
I mean, I use both and I've had no issues recently since I switched back over to that. And then I know you and I talked about the other day, they actually, if you guys are on TikTok, I don't know who's on TikTok, who's not, but they have a lot of yoni brands, like just different types of like herbal things. They're essential oils or whatever. So you would need to go through that to kind of determine for yourself. But there are some like natural soaps and stuff that I've used from TikTok shop that were actually great. So, I mean, you get it, you try it, you get, you know, a yeast infection and you don't use it again. So
that was that's kind of how it goes. That's your pussy will tell you. Like your pussy lets you know, hey, I'm not about this, whatever it is you're, and you kind of go through, you're like, what have I changed recently? Oh yeah, that soap. It not using that anymore. Yeah. Your pussy will tell you whether or not whatever new product you're trying is working for you. But I've got to tell you, that devastated me because you told me and Angie about Honey Pot and it changed our lives. Like I've been using it for years now. And I thought it would be important for, because I know you've turned so many women onto it. And so ladies, if you're experiencing, you know, some issues with your honeypot, then you may need to switch it up. And I did put the link to the PhD. Man, we really need these boric acid companies to sponsor us, Mrs. Mocha.
Yeah.
You would have, you made honeypot like $1 million. I'm not even joking. Like, well, you really did.
Honey pot, fuck you. Just kidding. We need you to change your formula, honey pot. Give us some dust, all right? We need you to change it back to what it was, because it used to be change like flowers and daisies. And
send Mrs. Mocha a check, okay? That's what honey pot needs to do. Yeah.
Exactly. But like I said, PhD seems fine there, because I had tried... Azo made one. I don't know if everybody's familiar with Azo, but Azo had made one. There were like two other ones that I tried and they just weren't, they weren't comfortable. Like with the PhD one, it like just kind of melts and it feels fine in there. You're supposed to lay down, but it melts and it feels fine. And then the other ones, are they either burn, which is, it just depends on how sensitive your pussy is, because mine is super sensitive to everything, but so it may not do that to you, but just be aware of your, again, if you're going on a play date or if you're going to be with your partner that night, whatever you're going to do, that depending on the type that you use, it may burn their private area. So just be careful, rinse it out, something. So, yeah, and then I did tell
you use it the night before, right? Like that's the idea, but yeah, use that amazing
or right after.
Yes, right after. Use that, you were telling me about your shower head that you can use to kind of like rinse it out before playtime. That's always a good option. Yeah. I need to get one of those.
Yeah. What is that? Okay, so if you go to extremerestraints.com is where I found it, but it literally is a douche that hooks up to your shower head. So they have like one for your ass, one for your pussy. It's like two different things, obviously, but it just... it looks like a douche and you just stick it up there and rinse out or whatever. So I think you're looking for it, aren't you? No. Anyway, it's like $75. You can find it anywhere. Just,
you should tell them not to overuse it.
Yeah, don't overuse it, because you get rid of all the good bacteria. Just, you know, like if you're going to have a play date, you feel like you got off your period 3 days ago, you want to be a little fresher, do that. And then afterwards, if you want to, but then, you know, lay off the pussy washer. Don't do it all the time. Because they also do have several different things. They also have a boric acid douche made by PhD too. So say you're at a party and you feel like you're a little off, you just go and, again, though, don't overdo it. You know, everybody knows their own body, though. Or if you don't, test one out at a time. Don't do it. Don't do everything all at the same time.
Yeah, don't go on a shopping haul for all of these yoni products and then try them all out. It's very likely you're going to throw your pH out of whack it's very likely you're going to have some issues. Do one thing at a time and see how your body tolerates it. And just like Mr. Mocha and Ms. Mocha were saying, like, it's moderation is the key, right? Right. Especially with women, are
you don't want to kill all the bacteria.
No, you do not. Right. And you can take, I take a vaginal and gut health probiotic as well. So if you take a probiotic, the brand I use is called Pearl, that's helping you as well. So, you know, I know it may seem like you may be listening and be like, damn, Scarlett, Mrs. Mocha, this is a lot. And we are giving you a lot of information. It took us a journey of years, literally years, to learn about what works best for us, and what works for me isn't always what works for Mrs. Mocha, and vice versa. However, it's a process of trial and error. And like we were talking about earlier, it's so important to have some really trusted girlfriends, some slut sisters that you can talk to and say, is anybody else experiencing this? Because I've had recurrent yeast infections and they just will not go away. And I need, you know, what do you guys do? So again, reach out, join Slut Sisters. Like, just we have three different chats in our Slut Sister Sanctum. We have a chat about being fluid bonded or not with partners, what kind of goes into making that decision. We also have a chat all about STIs, and we have a chat about, we call it pussy nourishment. It's all about how, exactly what we're talking about. How do we nourish our pussies? Yoni steams, you know, all of these kinds of things that we can do to nourish our pussies, because our pussies take care of us. We want to take care of them.
Yes. I can send the Amazon link once we're done. I'm not as savvy as Scarlett is on putting links up, because Mr. Mocha did not show me any of that before we got on the episode. But there is an Amazon link if you want to use a yoni steam. They're very soothing during any time, after surgery, before surgeries, after your period, whatever time of the month, after you just got a bunch of dicks and you're kind of sore. It's very soothing.
I feel like we talked about so much, but I know we just scratched the surface, because Mrs. Mocha and I could talk about UTIs. We can talk about, you know, like, there's so much. We could do a whole like episode just on BV and how you take care of yourself. So I would love to come back if you guys will have me, and hopefully we can keep this conversation going. And Mr. and Mrs. Mocha are the coolest fucking people on the planet. You can always reach out to them if you have questions, or if you would like us to address a topic, and we can talk about it. But I just want to thank you again so much for having me on, Mrs. Mocha. And hopefully you found this informative and entertaining, as Dimitri from Splash Mocha always says, inform and entertain. So that's what we tried to do today.
And if you ladies have any questions, our DMs are open on O-Faces, and I don't know if Scarlett's DMs are open or if she has weight.
My DMs, but you more. Yeah, they're not open, but you, it's can okay. Try.
My DMs are open. Yeah. So, I mean, any way that you'd like to, even if you want to post it on our page or whatever, if there's something specific, like with women's health, that you want us to talk about, because we are going to do more of these episodes, please feel free to let us know. Thanks. I appreciate you. But yeah, thanks, Scarlett, for being on. I really appreciate it. You had all the info today. Maybe I'll have some next time. I was just smiling like, that's what she's talking about. Mr. Mocha yelling at me and said, the wrong thing. I was like, oh my gosh, okay.
Hey, this. Mr. Mocha fact checking, it was very important. He saved our asses tonight. So thank you, Mr. Mocha.
Fine. That's why I just said, I was like, so I said I wasn't sure. So he's right. I can't say I'm not ever sure, because someone will say like, well, that's what you said. You're right.
We aren't experts, but we are professionals. So
correct.
And we are all learning and growing together. Lifestyle is a continuous learning experience. So thank you for joining us tonight. And thank you again for having me on, Mr. and Mrs.
Mobley. No problem. Hold on. Mr. Mocha went upstairs, so
are we gonna pretend the outro music is happening? Because I've listened to like every episode of your show and I can just hear it in my head.
Yeah, we're gonna do it.
We're gonna do the outro.
I'm so dead. It's laughing.
I guess I can tell people where to find me.
Yeah, go ahead.
On Twitter. Yeah. Again, if you want to join Slut Sisters, theflamingyoni.com and click on Slut Sisters. And I can be found on Twitter at salacious_scar and on Instagram at salacious_scarlet. It's really simple to find me. And I'm going to be doing more sexual health stuff. And so... Look at Goliath. He said, see y'all at the soiree. You are not coming to the soiree. It is sluts only. Sluts sisters secret spy. Only.
He's secret spying it. He's looking for it. I think I actually got the right music.
He bribed us with everything, Mrs. Mocha. He tried to bribe us with food.
He'll be fine. You'll see everybody when you see everyone, Goliath. But thank you again, Scarlett, and we'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.